You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
So placing this in a larger context, just to remind us, we've said this before, Ephesians, this started in chapter 4, so there were three chapters before it. And so, once again, just to summarize that, to remind you, first chapter of Ephesians, Paul says, I want to make sure you get this, that you have been saved by grace, not because of anything you did, but because of God's greatness and God's love, and you have been adopted into this family that's not necessarily yours by birth, but is yours because God has brought you in God's love. And he says, because you're essentially, and again, I'm summarizing Paul here in Ephesians, but he says, essentially, because you're a part of this family, you're called to live a certain way. You're going to bear the name. It's got to mean something. So, he lays out a little bit. Here's how you're supposed to live. Part of it is that you're supposed to live on the go. You know, that's what we read in this first part of part four. Says, you know, get going. It says, walk. Better yet, run on the road God's called you to travel. Not in fits and starts, but in this steady, ongoing life of discipleship, life of faith, or as we said, Eugene Peterson translates it, a long obedience in the same direction. That's what this life of faith is, that long obedience. But that we're called to also travel this road together, travel in unity with one another, to be called to be one direction, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We talked about all those ones in there a couple weeks ago. But all of this is leading somewhere. So it's not just enough to be called. It's not just enough to be adopted. It's not just enough to be one. What's the point? And essentially, Paul gets to his point here. Grow up. Heard that, right? Growing up. Always hated to hear a teacher or somebody say, don't be such a baby. Right? Or a friend would say that. Usually it wasn't a teacher. Teachers were nicer than that. But friends sure weren't. They're like, you're just being such a baby. You always hated to be that, hear that. But we're not called to be babies. We're called to be adults, according to this passage, to allow Christ's very breath and blood to flow through us, that that's what maturity looks like. Now, some of you already picked up on it, but there's a paradox in the Christian faith, because as we studied in Sunday school about Jesus receiving the little children, children and childlike faith is held up as an ideal. That Jesus says, if you don't have faith like this child, then you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet, at the same time, we hear Paul say in multiple occasions, don't be a baby. Grow up in your faith. Continue to mature as you go. You shouldn't still be the same as you were when you first entered into this life of faith. We are called to grow up. So which is it, you know, child or adults? Yes, the answer. Yes, it's both. So I wanted to make a distinction this morning as we gather together that Cindy's already helped me with. But that distinction between childish faith and childlike faith. Jesus never once says you are to have a childish faith. He says you're to have a childlike faith, which is something different. So let me give you a few marks, in my opinion, my reading, what I think Scripture says about childish faith. Someone who we might describe as someone with childish faith is someone who is completely dependent on somebody else. I always bristle when somebody says, and if you've ever said this, I'm not saying this at you right now, but when somebody says, well, I got to go to church because I got to get my refill, you know, I got to get filled up for the week. You know, and I'm always like, you have access to the charger all week. Why are you waiting until Sunday to come get refilled? That's one of my little pet peeves. So in case you've ever said that, I was not directed at you. But I'm just saying, you know, that we become totally dependent on somebody else. Or another one that really rubs me wrong is when somebody says, I stopped going to that church because I just didn't get fed there. It's like, you have access to the whole kitchen. What do you mean you didn't get fed? If you didn't get fed, you weren't reading. You weren't studying. You've got access to the chef himself. the Holy Spirit who will guide you and teach you and train you. So anyway, sorry, pet peeve moment there. Moving on. So childish faith is, I think, that kind of faith where we say, I'm totally dependent on somebody else. I have to go to the pastor so the pastor can tell me what this means. Now, sure, there are times that we're going to come across things that we don't understand, and that's okay. That's part of the growing process, is that we get to things and go, this is hard. And we do. We go and say, let's find somebody who knows a lot more than I do and ask them, and I do that. And that's why I have a library full of books in there of people that are much smarter than I am to say, I don't get this. But to always be dependent on somebody else. We know when we have newborns, they are totally dependent on us to change the diapers and to feed them and to care for them and to support them and make sure they have. That's okay when we're new Christians. It's not okay to stay there, you know? We've never seen a 30-year-old, well, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. If everything is healthy, you shouldn't find a 30-year-old person still in diapers being fed by a bottle, right? If everything's healthy. There are exceptions, and that's no fault of their own. And so I want to be careful that I don't get it's bad enough to be understood. You don't want to be misunderstood. But if everything's healthy, if we're growing as we should, we mature out of that. All right, so another example, another mark of a childish faith, I think, is that sense of spiritual milk. This is what Paul talks about later on in the New Testament about, I think the book of Timothy, if I remember correctly, about don't be constantly on spiritual milk. I worked with the students at school that I'm teaching them, and one of the things that I tell them, my goal for your class, for this class, after we've studied Scripture, is that you learn to study it on your own, that you're not dependent on me to tell you what this means, but that you study it on your own. Spiritual milk, or milk is okay for a while, but your body needs more than that. Spiritually speaking, it's okay for our young kids, for us to pour into them and teach them. As we get older, though, we need to start learning to make that meal for ourselves and to bite off some of the bigger things. If we're still trying to figure out some of the basics, God says, I've got so much more I want to teach you. And then also, I think one of the marks of a childish faith is these lists of what to do, what not to do. Some of that early on, it's okay, again, when we're young, to say, all right, well, the Bible clearly says you shouldn't do this, you should do this. And so we go through life and go, well, look, I don't do this, I don't do this, I don't do this. Check, I did this, check, I did that, check, I did that. The Pharisees got really good at this. Pharisees got really good at checking off lists. And Jesus shows up and says, yeah, you guys get the letter of the law. You've crossed every T, you've dotted every I, but you've missed the spirit behind it altogether. A mark of a childish faith is when we're still checking off lists all the time. Yes, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And we've not gotten to that deeper part of what is the Spirit trying to do in us? It's not just about marking right and wrong. It's about the Spirit forming us into a specific kind of person. The kind of person that is passionately in love with God. The kind of person that I don't need the list because the Spirit of God is flowing through me. I know that I need to help this person. I don't need a list to tell me, yes, this is the right thing. Or I don't need a list to tell me that's the wrong thing because I've been shaped and the Spirit's been molding me and I'm wanting to please God and I'm wanting to be in relationship with God and I'm wanting to help others. That's the difference of checking it off versus being shaped to where this comes naturally. And then finally, I think childish faith is that kind of uncritical faith. Well, I've said this over and over again. I will never ask you to check your brain at the door of the church, and I will never ask a student to check their heart at the door of the classroom. Think that through for a minute. I'll never ask you to check your brain at the door of the church. I'll never ask you to check your heart at the door of the classroom because everything we do is connected, and we need to think critically. We need to think hard. We need to ask the hard questions of Scripture. Childish faith says, I'm not even going to ask those questions because I'm afraid where that might lead me. I think a mature faith says, I'm okay with asking some of these questions because I have trust in a God that's big enough to handle them and will lead me through them. So, not childish. So if we said those four marks being totally dependent on somebody else, always on spiritual milk, to-do list, not-to-do list, uncritical thinking, childish faith. He says, no, I want you to have a childlike faith, meaning that we trust in the Father, that we trust God, that we know that God wants our good. God has a plan for us. God is doing things to shape us and to mold us. And so we trust that even in the midst of bad circumstances, God is going to be there. You know, when my children wake up with nightmares sometimes, and we'll hear them cry out, and you run in there and they say, Daddy, I just had a nightmare. And I said, but you know it's okay because Daddy's here, Mommy's here, and we can pray for you, and you're not going to wake up and find that we're not here. It's that kind of faith, that kind of trust that regardless of what circumstances happen, I can trust that God is there, God is going to carry me through, and God is going to put me through. But then like a childlike faith, I think too, is also this this faith of wonder and amazement. I love seeing my kids learn stuff because they're like, whoa. They come home, Dad, did you know that a butterfly comes from a caterpillar? And you're like, no, tell me about that. It's like, it's awesome. And we saw it. And we saw the little thing hanging down and it broke open. And you're like, sweet. That's awesome. And they're just like, they're amazed by the world. We so train this out of ourselves. We get to be adults and we're like, oh, yeah, life cycle. Yeah. No, it's amazing. Where kids are like, look at this, look at that sunset. Whoa. And you're like, ah, sun, I've seen a few. It's all right. This is the kind of, I think Jesus is saying, no. Childlike faith is that kind of faith that is wide-eyed in wonder of the world that we're in and constantly looking, saying, whoa, God, look at what you're doing here. Holy cow, look over here. Man, this is amazing. You know, that kind of wonder in the world. I think that's a childlike faith, recapturing that kind of wonder. And that kind of joy and celebration that we see in children, right? With a few exceptions, you usually don't have to teach kids how to dance, right? Like, you turn on some music and they're like, yeah, sweet, right? I mean, maybe you might have to teach them to dance well, but you don't have to teach them to dance, right? And so, why as adults we train that out of us? Like, no, I'm afraid somebody's going to look at me weird and somebody's going to, you know, think I'm strange or somebody. Kids don't worry about that. They're like, sweet, you know, doing this little number. And you're like, my kids are so strange. And you're like, no, it's awesome. They just don't care. Because kids don't live with shame. Kids don't live with shame. We've poured that onto them as adults. And others have poured that onto us as adults. This sense of shame and worry and concern about what other people. So I think Jesus, when he says childlike faith, it's part of that as well. That sense of freedom. And I can just dance and it's all right. And it don't matter. It don't matter what you think about me. I'm not doing it for you anyway. And then kids, you usually don't have to teach kids to be creative either. It's like, cool, a stick. I can turn this into a sword, and I can turn this into a, you know, to a baseball bat, and then I can turn this into a, you know, and then they're like, oh, let's find something else. I could use this thing, this foam, and we can turn it into 100 different things. Or I can use this box right here that, you know, the present that my very expensive Christmas present came in that I'm ignoring now because I like the box, and we can do creative things with this box, and it can be a house, and it can be a, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, kids are just creative if you just let them go. And I think that's part of what Jesus is saying. Childlike faith means this deep trust that God's there. This amazing wonder in the world around us. This sense of joy and celebration and lack of shame and this creative way of entering into the world and always looking for possibilities. So Paul says, to get us back to our passage, no prolonged infancies here. We will not tolerate babes in the wood. God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love, like Christ in everything. So what would a mature faith look like? I think first and foremost, a mature faith is a childlike faith. C.S. Lewis was talking about, one time, talking about literature, and he wrote Chronicles of Narnia and a number of things that people say that's young adult literature. And then we've got serious adult literature over here. And C.S. Lewis says, it takes a really, I'm summarizing, but he says, it takes a really immature person to be dependent on labels like adult and young adult. He said, the mark of maturity is when we use those as descriptors, but at the same time, we don't care. If it's good, it's good. If we enjoy it, we enjoy it. It's all right. If it teaches us something, it teaches us something. Again, that's a big summary. That's not really exactly what he said. He was much more eloquent than that. But the point just being that sometimes we need to remember that we don't grow out of it. It's okay to be childlike. The mark of a mature believer is someone who says, it's okay to dance. It's okay to be silly. It's okay to be in wonder. It's okay to be childlike because that's part of who Christ has created us to be. It also means somebody who take ownership of their faith. This summer when I was dealing with jaw surgery, milkshakes are awesome for like a week when you can't eat solid foods. You know, it's like for the first week, like I get to eat milkshakes every day. And then by the second week, you're like, milkshake. Mm. And then by like the third or fourth week, you're like, if I see another milkshake, I am about ready just to throw them out the window. I just want to chew something, right? Because I'm a grown-up. So the mark of a mature faith says, give me something to chew. Don't just give me the milkshake. Don't just tickle my ears. Don't just give me the milk. Give me something to chew. Mark of a mature faith is someone who will speak the truth in love. We have a lot of people in our world that love to speak the truth. They don't do it very kindly. They like to yell the truth and beat the truth and scream the truth. Then we have a lot of people who like to talk about love and whatever goes, we're just loving here, we're just fuzzy, and we accept anybody, and anything is okay. Yeah, no. He says not all truth and no love, or not all love and no truth. He says there is God's truth, there is things that have been revealed, but if we cannot speak about that and live those in ways that are loving, then we are not living out a mature faith. And then finally, this idea of Christ-likeness. That all of this goal, this unity together, one faith, one hope, one love, one baptism, all of this adoption into the family, all of this, you've been given special gifts to build up the body, all that we've been talking about over this whole chapter builds up to this. The goal is that together we grow up into Christ-likeness. That we as a community mirror who Christ is to the world. That's the goal. That's what we're aiming for. That's why Paul closes this out. He says, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth, and to tell it in love. Like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthily in God, robust in love. That's the goal. That together, as we use our gifts, together as we are unified, together as we are childlike and not afraid to be that, that we will grow up into a reflection of Christ. And that when people look at our community and they look at our lives, they say, wow, there's something there. There's something going on there. There's hope there. There's joy there. There's peace in that community. There's love in that community. I want to be a part of that. You are a city set on a hill, Jesus said. Therefore, don't hide, but go out. Be salt and light to the world. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that you are calling us to grow up into you. But in doing so, you are calling us to still be childlike in our faith. Not childish, where we refuse to grow up and refuse to do things on our own, but childlike, where we trust in you and are amazed by you and are in awe of what you're doing in our lives and in the world. You're calling us to be unashamed Because in Christ, in you, Lord, there is no shame. You have set us free from all condemnation. You have set us free from all sin. You have set us free from the guilt and the shame and the death and any evil power that might have had influence over us. You've set us free and given us new life. So, Lord, give us the courage to live into that new life, to grow up in you, to integrate our lives so that we don't check our brain at the door, but that we ask the hard questions. And as we trust in you and wade through the difficulties, that we enter into a deeper faith and a deeper understanding and a more awesome wonder of the world in which you've placed us. Lord, give us the courage to live that kind of faith. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.